Hello, this is James Stansel of the New Books Network, the African American Studies Channel, and today I had the pleasure of talking to the distinguished professor of arts and humanities at the University of California at Berkeley. Her name is Darcy Grimaldo Grigsby, and her book is Enduring Truths, Sojourners, Shadows, and Substance. And this is a book about one of the most photographed people of the 19th century. Frederick Douglass, the abolitionist, was the most photographed person of the 19th century. But Sojourner Truth, also an abolitionist and a women's rights person, she was very well photographed as well. And Professor Grimaldo Grigsby is going to talk with you about her journey from finding some eBay images of Sojourner Truth to actually writing and illustrating a picture book. By illustrating, I mean visualizing and coming up with the graphics for an outstanding art history picture book. So enjoy this interview with Professor Darcy Grimaldo Grigsby on her University of Chicago Press book, Enduring Truths, on Sojourner Truth. Welcome to the New Books Network. I'm your host, James Stansel of the African American Studies Channel, and today I have the great pleasure of speaking with Professor Darcy Grimaldo Grigsby, a distinguished professor of arts and humanities at the University of California, Berkeley. We're going to be talking today about her book, Enduring Truths, Sojourner Shadows and Substance. The truth we're talking about here is Sojourner Truth. How are you doing today, Professor Grigsby?
I'm fine. I'm very pleased to speak with you.
Thank you. I'm very happy that you could take some time with us, especially during the semester going into the holiday season, to talk with us about your book. This is an outstanding book, Enduring Truth, and it's published by the University of Chicago Press. I really enjoyed looking at all the pictures, and we talked a little bit offline about the story behind this book and what got you started with it. If you don't mind, can you share some of that with our audience?
Of course. Right now? Okay. Yes, this book is a very different book than the other books I've written, which began as sort of art historical projects and involved a lot of archival research in France, for instance, et cetera. But Sojourner Truth, I was first amazed when I saw a carte de visite and saw her remarkable caption, I mm-hmm. sell the shadow to support the substance. And the way I began the book was by purchasing a card on eBay, something it would not be possible today in the, about 10 years that I've been working on this. They've become rarer and more exorbitant, and my book has made them even more so.
Even more so.
Yeah, but I bought a little card that was damaged, and it was of her with her caption and her name, and it was inscribed in the back, and it was bought by, the inscription reads, bought by Ann Heald at West Branch, Iowa, 1870, at the lecture by Sojourner Truth. And I bought it from William Heald. I bought it from a descendant of the woman who in 1870 heard Sojourner Truth lecture, right, and who inscribed the back of the card. And it turns out I interacted with him for a while and am still in touch with him. And he told me about his abolitionist family, some of whom worked on the Underground Railroad, for instance. And the carte de visite, which is a small photograph mounted on cardboard. It's about 2.5 by 4 inches. And the term carte de visite is French, but it means visiting card. Mm-hmm. And it was invented mid-century and becomes a total fad both in France and in the U.S. Okay. And its most important moment is during the Civil War. In any case, he explained to me that this beautiful card of Sojourner Truth, damaged and humble as it was, mm-hmm. was the only card that wasn't of a family member in his 19th century family album. It was the last card, and it stood for their politics. Mm. It stood for their commitment to the abolition of slavery.
Okay.
And that turns out to be one of the ways in which these cards functioned for others. But that's how I began the book. It was my very, very first eBay purchase in 2006. And when I tried to recreate my collecting, I had eBay recreate my purchases. And he said, I can't find anything before this moment in 2006. And it turned out it was my very first purchase.
Wow.
And was stunning. And I ended up buying quite a few cards. I have a sort of major Civil War collection now. And I've given them, the majority of them, I've saved a couple for my children. And I saved this one for myself. But I've given a rather large collection of Civil War cards de visite, featuring often African Americans, to the Berkeley Art Museum. And they just had a wonderful show called Sojourner Truth. Photography and the Fight Against Slavery.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's how the book began.
Okay. Well, that's an amazing story. And that was an amazing first eBay purchase.
Yeah. I feel very lucky.
Yeah. To lead to such a beautiful and lovely book here. You know, when I got the book in to, start reviewing it for our talk, my wife was so excited, and she was like, oh, you know, let me know when you get that book in. I want to see that. I mean, it's lovely. It's beautiful. It's very well done. And the book is Enduring Truths, University of Chicago Press, Sojourner Shadows and Substance by Distinguished Professor of Arts and Humanities at University of California, Berkeley, Darcy Grimaldo Grigsby. And, you know, I mentioned University of Chicago, Chicago Press and University of California, where you teach, and you're a distinguished professor there. So can you tell us a little bit about your background, what got you, into the history of art?
That's a hard one, James. I always have been connected to art. I mean, making art as a child. I grew up with a single mother who worked as a secretary on campus right here at UC Berkeley.
Wow.
Panamanian. I'm Panamanian, okay. American. My father was in the army in Panama, and but I was raised by my mother. And I both loved art and really care very much about the ways art history has not adequately discussed the, it's changed, of course, in the course of my 20-year career, but okay. Had not adequately addressed questions of colonialism, slavery, race, domination, inequity. And I combined those two loves because I do, must say, I find real solace in objects and art.
Okay.
And so that's a very important part of my life. But the stakes of keeping, I feel lots of art historians sort of think of it as something about the beauty of art. But I really think the best work comes when one understands the kind of high stakes of one's argument.
Okay.
And so, yes. In other words, my work is always very political and very motivated by knowing the importance of uncovering these stories that have been effaced or buried somehow. There was no book on Sojourner Truth, use of photography.
Mm-hmm.
Nell Irvin Painter, a wonderful African-American historian,
yes.
Formerly of Princeton, wrote a great biography of her in which she discusses the photographs in one chapter. And before that, maybe a couple decades before that, a woman named Kathleen Collins wrote one article on them. But nobody had sat down and taken them really seriously as one of the most amazing facts of Sojourner Truth's life, that she embraced, like Frederick Douglass, photography.
Right.
And understood its power for a people who were redefining themselves as the equal to the whites who had suppressed them and enslaved them. And both Frederick Douglass and Sojourner Truth were slaves who escaped.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them embraced photography, and it's one of the most interesting parts of the history of photography in 19th century United States is the way that it served African Americans.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, that you mentioned Frederick Douglass, you know, as well as Sojourner Truth there, because a lot of people just don't realize that, you know, they were some of the most photographed people of that time period.
Yeah, the recent book, I had no idea when I decided to write what was going to be my very little book on Sojourner Truth, and it grew. I had no idea that there was a similar project being authored by Henry Louis Gates and others on Frederick Douglass's photography, but they came out at the same time, and it was marvelous, around the same time, and it was marvelous because my book was immediately covered in the New York Times in conjunction with the Frederick Douglass book. So the two coming out at the same moment brought more attention, I think, to both. At least it brought more attention to mine. Frederick Douglass being the more probably well-known and revered figure, although Sojourner Truth is also widely heralded as
absolutely
courageous and remarkable.
And so we should probably talk about that a little bit, Darcy, you know, because, you know, you and I are both very familiar with Sojourner Truth and her work, as well as Frederick Douglass, but there may be some, you know, in our listening audience that may know the name, but maybe not aren't as familiar with her deeds and her importance to American history. So just, can you just talk about that just a little?
Yeah, Sojourner Truth, I mean, and the reason I wrote the book was that I was so amazed by her achievements. She was a slave. She was a slave born to Isabella Bomfrey in about 1797. Mm-hmm. And she was a slave who was parted from her parents early, had a number of owners, and who ends up running away from her last master when she was in her 20s, well, she was about 30. She left in about 1826. And she renamed herself at the age of 46, Sojourner Truth. And what's amazing about her achievements, because we need to define her as not just a runaway slave, but a runaway slave who became one of the most eloquent abolitionists.
Absolutely.
Also, a woman fighting on behalf of women's rights to vote. She ends up also fighting capital punishment. And she's doing all of this as a woman who could neither read nor write.
Amazing.
So she, yeah, amazing, right? And she was illiterate in a way that Frederick Douglass was not. He was our great literate spokesperson. But this didn't stop Sojourner Truth from, once she saw Frederick Douglass had written his autobiography, she said, yeah, I can do that. And she always had important women friends and family who facilitated her publications. And she wrote her own narrative. She wrote constantly to the newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
She was just politically engaged. She preferred to have children read newspapers to her to keep her up with current events. And I say newspapers, she did not have them read one. She had them read many.
Wow.
And
what
she preferred children because she thought they did not editorialize.
Ah, right, right.
Just give it to her straight up. So for a woman who could not read or write, she was really engaged with words, with speaking, with texts. She ended up being a great collector of autographs.
Amazing.
But also, she was so courageous. And let me say, she, throughout the Civil War, she wished she could fight. But knowing she couldn't, she did things like volunteered for years at the Freedmen's Bureau in Washington, D.C., where the slaves who had come up from the South were living, and she'd walk into their barracks and talk to them about what they needed to do to be up with the news, to be clean, to be hardworking. And while she did that, she would knit, and she wanted to teach everyone how to be productive and knitting was one of those things.
It absolutely was. for that time period.
Yeah.
An amazing woman.
I could go on for a while about her. Should I add more?
I think that's a pretty good description of her, you know, and talking about her great work. And I would encourage anyone who is not familiar with Sojourner Truth to do some research on her, one, but two, buy the book Enduring Truths, Sojourner Shadow and Substance, because you can see many great images of her and learn more about her in that way as well. And again, this is the New Books Network. I'm James Stansel, your host on the African American Studies channel, and I'm here with a distinguished professor of arts and humanities at the University of California, Berkeley, Darcy Grimaldo Grigsby, and we're talking about her book on Sojourner Truth, a book published by the University of Chicago Press, Enduring Truth, Sojourner Shadows and Substance. And Professor Grigsby, what, you know, if you could just describe just briefly, what can one expect if they were to pick up your book? What would they see when they, you know, when they open it up and when they look in it? What are some of the highlights, some things that, you know, the average person can expect to see?
Well, one of the things that's great about this book is it's beautifully produced, mm-hmm. partly because I contributed a lot of money to have. Yeah, people think authors get money from the sale of their books, but in fact, I spent a great deal. I'm talking over $10,000 to have it produced this lavishly. So, you know, many a press might think that little pictures that are sepia colored, little black mm-hmm. and white objects did not need color illustration, but I insisted that I wanted it in primarily in full color. And so you'll open up a book that is lavishly illustrated. It has every carte de visite I have found of Sojourner Truth reproduced, as well as other important contemporary objects. And I think just including, and also other photographs of other African Americans.
Yes.
Carte de visite, but also wonderful tintypes and pictures of soldiers and so forth that I needed as an explanation or a way to argue mm-hmm. about this really powerful role photography played for all Americans
yes.
during the Civil War because of the ways in which families were ruptured and people were far away from each other, and pictures, photographs were one of the ways they stayed connected. But I think it's a great picture book. I wanted it to be
yes.
a picture book. It has an argument that I think is important. But I do think it's a revelation to many just to see how many times she had herself photographed. As you say, Frederick Douglass and Sojourner Truth were two of the most photographed people. Frederick Douglass was the most photographed man
yes.
in the 19th century, we have learned. He and he also wrote two or three eloquent essays trying to come to terms with photography. So he was a great theorist of photography. But I think Sojourner Truth's practice, we don't have the same kind of writing from her about photography, but her mm-hmm. very practice of using it was so remarkably brilliant and savvy in ways that I would say are fully of the same stature as, you know, Frederick Douglass's
okay.
use of photography. Let me say a few words about that. First of all, let's emphasize that when she starts doing these photographs, and most of them are from the Civil War era,
mm-hmm.
she is a woman in her late 60s, and she continues to have photographs made throughout the period of the Civil War, but even in her 80s, she's having vast numbers of pictures made. I was so happy when I located the logbooks of a photographer in Detroit to whom she turned at the end of her life, and I reproduced
wow.
the logbooks in the book because it's so stunning. You look down, his name was Randall, and you look down his logbook and you'll see many names who have ordered 4 pictures, 12 pictures, 2 pictures, and then you get to Sojourner and it's 100. She's in her 80s. And another, she orders 50 and 50 of two different ones. The woman understood photography not as a private, personal, familial object, as most people used it, but right. as a public mechanism to circulate her cause as well as her person, right? And she knew that these photographs were a way that she could generate income, but income that allowed her to travel. And again, imagine that this woman is in her late 60s, 70s, and 80s, who's traveling in the 19th century during the Civil War, great distances, and giving these speeches that were apparently just remarkably bold and eloquent. Mm-hmm. And she sold the photographs at her lectures, and she also sold them through the newspaper. And she would have them advertised, and she would send them in the mail. So another way that she was so savvy was understanding that the recent development of the U.S. Postal Service allowed her to have this kind of mail order business. Sending out her pictures, and she'd say, 3 for $1, but please send postage. When she'd advertise, et cetera. And so she was living off of it, the sale of her photographs as well as her book. But what's also remarkable about how she used the photographs is that, unlike Frederick Douglass, who had so many pictures made by numerous important photographers, right. and we know all their names, most of the photographers who took pictures of Sojourner Truth are unknown, because she insisted that on the front, the card said, "I sell the shadow to support the substance, Sojourner Truth." And on the back, she had her copyright printed, which says, "Entered according to Act of Congress in the year 1864 by Sojourner Truth in the clerk's office of the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Michigan." Now, when she had her photographs copyrighted in her name, this was a year before copyright was supposed to cover photographs.
Oh.
So she's precocious. It is also, I have never found another carte de visite from this period in which the copyright is in the sitter's name. They are always in the photographer's name. The copyright was the photographer's right to that image, but she insisted, and remember, she's a former slave,
right.
that the image was her property, that she was going to disseminate it, but she wasn't going to disseminate herself that had once been defined as property and object slave. She was going to disseminate her shadow. And her shadow is what she left behind and was recorded as a photograph.
Wow.
But her substance was her selfhood that walked away and lived off of the money she earned by selling these photographs. Frederick Douglass has gorgeous pictures that at the bottom of the carte de visite or cabinet card will say, for instance, Warren, photographer, because was what was normative. The photographer would put his imprint on the front of the card. And that's part of why we know who photographed Frederick Douglass.
Right, right.
So Sojourner Truth was incredible in insisting that the card was entirely about her and her property and herself. And so she went to provincial photographers who were willing to relinquish their typical sort of selling of their own business through the name imprinted on the cards. So these are little cardboard mounts upon which an album and print was glued. They would have to be printed like on a printing press. Sojourner Truth is the only sitter I know who made so many claims to her ownership of herself as photographed.
And I'm sure, like you said, her history, her past history had a lot to do with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just, it's very, just, you know, again, very interesting, the contrast with Frederick Douglass, who had greater fame, greater status, greater literacy. But Sojourner Truth turned this very humble card into a remarkable testament to her sense of self-possession and claim to rights.
And the book is Enduring Truths, Sojourner's Shadows and Substance. And you just got an explanation as to the meaning of the subtitle there, Sojourner's Shadows and Substance. And this is an outstanding book, a great art history of art, what some would call a coffee table that type book. The pictures are lovely. You heard Professor Grigsby talk about that she is a labor of love, so to speak. She spent a lot of her own money to make sure that this book looks the way that it is, because this is something that is true history for people in the African-American community or people who are interested in the history of women's rights. Sojourner Truth was very important there, and Professor Darcy Grimaldo Grigsby did an outstanding job with this book. I can tell you, my wife loves it. I loved it. You mentioned the pictures in there of people other than Sojourner Truth. That was important to me as well, because it helped me to visualize and think, what if I lived during that time period? And, people who are like me who lived during that time period. So I thank you so much for this book. It's very important. And I love, I'm more of a history person, not an art history person, but as a history person, a social science scholar, this was very important work for me, and it's something that I will cherish for a long time. So I thank you so much for your great work with this.
Thank you. I wanted the book, as much as it is a scholarly book, I wanted the book partly to just bring Sojourner Truth's brilliance and activism to the fore. And she's a woman that, I remember when I was in elementary school, we could write on Harriet Tubman or Sojourner Truth. I had to work on Tubman, actually, in my little, fourth grade report. But it's very important for me that it has this kind of pedagogical impact. And as I say, one of the great things about the strange way that, I've never collected art. I couldn't collect the paintings and things that I wrote about in my first books. But these were these small, modest cards that even I, this many, 150 years later, could manage to collect, as did people in the 19th century. They collected cards. And to give it to the museum and to see over 350 eighth graders be brought through there,
amazing,
and turned on to this history that, again, all of us do sometimes feel despair and concern about rights not having been achieved as fully as we'd wish. Need to look back at Sojourner Truth, who said to a friend who had lost a child, "Don't cry no more. Get back to work, Lord, there's plenty of work to be done." Something I'm paraphrasing. But that sense of, if we think we face challenges, we have to imagine a woman in her late 60s who couldn't read or write, who often was dealing with illness, managing to do as much as she did. I feel it's an inspiration to us all and a reminder that we got to keep going.
Right.
Fighting the fight.
And you are an inspiration to me. The work that you did to make this project happen, the fact that you contributed some of your own money, over $10,000, listeners, I don't know if you caught that earlier, to make this outstanding book, to make sure
Sorry, I'm interrupting. I'm being nice to University of Chicago Press and not telling you how much I actually spent. It's a lot more than $10,000.
We'll just say at a minimum $10,000.
Which often happens these days if you want good illustrations. But you do. You want these books to live on.
And this is certainly a book that will live on. It's beautifully designed. The pictures and everything is in here is great. And it's definitely a testament to your labor, your efforts, your work. And it's University of Chicago Press, Enduring Truth, Sojourner Shadows and Substance. And I'm here with the author, Darcy Grimaldo Grigsby, for the New Books Network African American Studies Channel. She is a distinguished professor of arts and humanities at the University of California, Berkeley. And this book, Enduring Truth, is the kind of book that you would hope to see in any library. in a person's home, in a college libraries, public libraries, so people can enjoy and, you know, picture and like I did, visualize themselves, you know, their ancestors, the people from that previous time period. We can't, you know, forget them, and it's important for the young people to make those connections and be familiar with people from the past. The further we get away from that time period, I fear that these people are going to have less importance to them, and we can't allow that. So your book is going to go a long way in helping to make that connection for them. So thank you so much for that, Professor Grigsby. It really means a lot to me, which is one of the reasons why it was really important for me to interview you and share your book with folks who maybe wouldn't know about it otherwise.
Thank you so much, James. Yes. And call me Darcy, by the way.
Okay. No problem, Darcy. And I don't want to take up too much of your time, too. I know you're, you know, an important professor out there at the University of California at Berkeley. But if there are any thoughts that you can leave with our listeners, or if you want to talk about as well, I would love to hear about your current work, any future projects you have, or if you want to share maybe even about some of your previous art books, if they are interested in going to take a look at those as well.
Well, thank you for giving me this opportunity to just mention what I've written before.
Yes.
Very, very different, but on the other hand, always about the problems of colonialism, slavery, race, and sure. representation. And so my first book was called Extremities, Painting Empire in Post-Revolutionary France. It's from 2002, and it's about many of the big paintings that are famous to people who care about French art. Mm-hmm. And it was weaving the story of Haiti, Senegal, the Ottoman Empire, mm-hmm. Egypt together in a way that had never been done, and it needed to be done because these paintings that were considered just sort of romantic paintings are turned out to be all about empire and loss.
Mm.
Second book was Colossal Engineering, the Suez Canal, Statue of Liberty, Eiffel Tower, and Panama Canal, and it's a crazy but also beautifully illustrated book about that incredible megalomania at the end of the 19th century, mm-hmm. and all Franco-American rivalries about who could build the tallest monument, for instance. So, and the kind of ways those were, the histories were all tied up with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And then right now I'm working on a book called, tentatively called Creole Looking, about France's portrayal of its foreign relations. Mm. I really love the term in the Americas and the Caribbean. I really love the term Creole because it's a very complicated term.
Mm-hmm.
You might know it from New Orleans, but
yes.
the French colonies, what's interesting about it is it doesn't describe, it does not hinge on racial difference. It's about being foreign, but being of an, I'm sorry. It's about being born away from your place of origin.
Okay.
A French person born in Martinique would be Creole, but an African person born in Martinique would be Creole. Mm. So I'm really interested in that, the complexity of that
okay.
culture. So that's what I'm working on now.
Sounds great.
And I continue to occasionally look at eBay and find it. Something that I buy, I keep adding to the Berkeley Art Museum's collection at this point. And I just think this has been a wonderful opportunity to share my work, and I so appreciate you thinking of me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And you never know, your next project may come from another eBay purchase.
I don't know about that. I'm not that rich, but...
yeah, you never know. And I would love to get you back to talk about your next project when you get it completed. I think my audiences would love to hear about that too, about that Creole experience. With me being in Houston, Texas, is something that I'm definitely familiar with. Okay.
Yeah, one of the chapters is about Degas in New Orleans, so you know that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's fascinating. Yeah, great. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Darcy, and, you know, again, I want to mention the name of the book, Enduring Truth, Sojourners, Shadows, and Substance, published by the University of Chicago Press. Darcy Grimaldo Grigsby, University of California at Berkeley, Distinguished Professor. That's who we've been talking to today. And thank you so much for your time, Darcy. And, you know, hopefully our listeners will go out and pick up your book, be it library people or, you know, people who are looking for an art book for their home, whatever the case may be, this is the book for you. It is a beautiful, beautiful book. If you take a look at it online and you see it, you're going to want to purchase it. Definitely you will for yourself. So thank you so much, Darcy, Professor Grigsby, and everyone who is listening on the New Books Network, the African American Studies channel. We will see you next time. And again, I've been here with Professor Darcy Grigsby, Darcy Grimaldo Grigsby of the University of California, her book on Sojourner Truth, Enduring Truths. And we'll see you next time on the New Books Network. Thank you. All right. This is again James Stansel back for the African American Studies channel, the New Books Network. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Darcy Grimaldo Grigsby, the professor of Arts and Humanities, distinguished professor of Arts and Humanities at University of California, Berkeley. And she was talking with us about her book, Enduring Truths. Really enjoyed talking with her and the impact she's had on the middle school students, young people in general. People in the future may not know as much about Sojourner Truth as we do today, and this book is going to go a long way in helping to keep them informed and educated about life in the 19th century, particularly if you're an African American, to see those images and to see the outstanding pictures of such a great hero in the African American community, Sojourner Truth, the abolitionist and women's rights activist. So that's all we got time for today on the New Books Network, the African American Studies channel. This is your host, James Stansel, and I look forward to seeing you next time. Take care.